Let us pray, please. Father, we want to come to thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit, for the presence of God that comes to us to teach us, to bring us into a place to where we might be able to have the understanding, the comprehension, that we might have the awareness, that even, Lord, that we might have the fear of you that is so much a part of our worship of you. Father, we want to thank you this evening. Want to thank you for your word. For it says that your word is like a two-edged sword that divides asunder, hallelujah, the spirit from the soul. Father, your word is something that brings a reality of the darkness and the light, the difference and the incompatibility that you have in light with darkness. Father, we are so very glad of the authority that is in the light. It says that you were the light, and you were the life. And it says that you light every man that cometh into this world. That means every soul has an opportunity to recognize and to see the reality of truth, and they have a decision to make whether they want the truth, whether they want the light, or whether they want to embrace the darkness. It is a human choice, and it is a choice and an opportunity that you give every one of us. In the midst of the world we live in, regardless of the environment. Hallelujah. Father, you have come in this hour, and you are bringing a spirit of revelation. You are bringing a spirit of understanding, so that when man stands before you at the end of the day, he will have no excuse. He will have no position or place or alibi. He cannot blame this or that, because the truth was made evident to him. And instead of truth, he chose darkness. My God. Darkness, whether it be in the sensual, fleshly realm, or darkness if as it abides in the realm of religion. My God, we pray tonight for that light of illumination. We pray, God, for your divine intervention. You see the humanity of our being. The inabilities, the incapabilities, the shortness, the desires that want to go in a different direction than that of righteousness, of that of holiness, of that of purity, of that of sanctification and consecration. And yet you come to knock on our door. And Father, I know that we are now living in a time, and we're coming to the place where you will cease to knock, because we have made a decision. We have made a choice.
Oh, God, help us.
And that choice will determine at the end of the day on which side of the door we stand. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Whether we will have a commendation or whether we will have a condemnation. My God, it is not a decision you make. It is a decision that we choose. So, Father, we just bring ourselves before you today. You see my shortcomings. You see my inabilities. You see my lack in the things that pertain to God. And I submit my mind to you this morning, this evening. I submit my emotions to you this evening. I ask God that you have preeminence, that you have a position of overshadowing, and that you do not allow me to step out of that which is on your heart tonight. My God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I come tonight to you with a heavy heart. There is little time that we have left, and there is so much that needs to be done. And the devil is pulling out all of the stops to keep us from going or attaining that which God wants to give to us. We tenaciously hang on to the old. We tenaciously want what it is that brings some sort of gratification or exhilaration or thoughts of pleasure to our hearts, to our soul, to our minds, to our emotions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I am very much aware of the word of truth that God is bringing to you. And I am very much aware how the devil is working to circumvent it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I come in faith, believing as the one that sows the seed. Hallelujah. That some of that seed will find ground. If I were to look at it in the natural, I would be very discouraged. I would probably pack my bags and go home. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because we so tenaciously hold on to the things that we are accustomed to. We so tenaciously hold on to those things that are familiar. You know, there was a word that God spoke to Abraham in the very beginning. It is found in Genesis chapter 12. And it is a requiem that is given by God to you and I who say we believe in the reality of God. We believe in a God, hallelujah, that has an authority that is greater than any authority and has an authority in our lives. And yet, we do not heed him or pay reverence to him. We come in and do whatever it is that we feel like doing. And religion becomes a feel-good doing thing. The Bible says in John chapter 14 that they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. Brethren, there is a difference between a sensual position of worshiping and a heart soul that is reaching out to God.
Amen.
You know, when I find myself in a dire predicament, and I pray to God that God give you the the understanding that God give you the awareness of your dire predicament. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When I am in that place of burden, when I'm in that place of reality, when I'm in that place of understanding, I'm not shouting, I'm not dancing, I'm not clapping, I'm not doing all of the things that excite my body or excite my notion. I am rending my soul before God. I'm down on my face in prayer before God. I'm down asking God to have mercy on me. I'm there. I'm pleading with God to deliver me out of my tribulation, out of my sorrow, out of my grief. Hallelujah. And I look at my life, and I look around me in the world that I live, and I feel the grief for my, first and foremost, for my position and my lack of sensitivity to the moving of God as He wants to walk into the midst of us and touch our soul.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We have no concept. We barge in on God. We barge in on God. It's like going into the throne room of a king and then crashing through the doors. We take no time to meditate. We take no time to pray. We take no time to sit and listen.
Oh my God.
We just barge right in. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, if you were to do that in actuality, in the olden days, the days of Esther, if you did that, you would be killed. If you came into the presence of the king without invitation, without being summoned, if you came of your own volition and your presumptuousness and barged in on the king, if he did not have mercy on you, you would be dead. Is it any different with us in God, who is an authority over every king? An authority that is lifted up and so awesome in His magnitude, a power that you and I can't even look upon Him. And we have the nerve or the gall to barge into His presence, making all kinds of noise. Hallelujah. God is not pleased. God is not pleased. And if you think that it is not without consequences, you are mistaken. Because when you walk out of that door, after your irreverent attitude, you have set in motion the wheels of God's judgment. Hallelujah. The Bible says that we can't even look upon Him. Hallelujah. You know, when they have the latter rain, what they call the latter rain movement, the outpouring of the Spirit in the United States. Hallelujah. There was a minister who would sit in his chair with a bag over his head because of his unworthiness to be in the presence of God. And when they would come into these sanctuaries, there was a place in Detroit called Beale's Temple. And the Holy Spirit, just the emissary of God, would come down in that place like a cloud.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And people walking the door would be smitten. Hallelujah. And there were bodies being piled up in the doorways. They had to gingerly work and pull them out. Hallelujah. God is coming back in that manifestation to a church. Do you hear me? There is a true church, And there are true worshipers. And God is moving in the midst, and He's selecting. He's selecting. He's selecting. He's picking. Not those that move in an emotional, positional position of demonstration, but moves by the power of the awesome conviction that God is here in His presence. Hallelujah. The children of Israel were so afraid of God, they would not go up on the mountain. How is it that we can be so bold? How is it that we can be so contrite in our thinking that we think that we can move in on God in such a way, in such a manner? Hallelujah.
Amen.
That irreverence Him. You know, I have been coming to Africa. I was a young man when I was coming to Africa. You had a very healthy respect for older people. You had a very healthy respect. I have seen that respect dissipate. I have seen that respect begin to evaporate. Hallelujah. Why? What is different? What has changed? The person getting older hasn't changed. The person that is younger hasn't changed. What has changed? It's the mindset. I walked into a room. The brother that we were with, Brother Dusil, would walk into a room, and people would not even look at him. Hello? Are you familiar with it? Huh? They would come. They would grab his hand, but they would not look at him. They would not look at him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you can do that on an earthly level with a man that is older by reason of age, how much more should we fear God? How much more should we fear God? Should we not feel He that has the power of life and death within the raise of a finger? Hallelujah.
Amen.
There was something very presumptuous about Ananias and Sapphira. Very presumptuous. They thought that they could fool God. They thought that they could fool God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And they came in to the meeting as they would always come in. And they would pretend that they were doing something that they were not doing.
Amen.
They were pretending. Pretending! Let me tell you something. I was witness one day as the Spirit of God began to move on a congregation, and the presence and the worship of God began. No instruments. No instruments. And as people just began to open their mouths and to praise God, not loud, not vociferously, not aggravatedly, hallelujah.
Amen.
But just begin to tell God, God, we love You. We are so thankful for You. We love You so much, God. You have done so much for us, and we are so unworthy. Hello?
Yeah.
Are you hearing me? So unworthy, so out of sorts with You, so incompatible with Your spirit, and yet You're so gracious, You're so merciful, You're so loving, that You are extending the scepter of Your hand toward us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, when Esther went in before the king had many wives. But there was something very special about Esther. She went in with fear and trembling. She fasted. Can you imagine us coming to a meeting to meet with God? fasting 3 days and 3 nights before we come into his presence. She fasted and she told Mordecai and all of the household of Israel, fast and pray with me. And whether I live or whether I die. Yes. Hallelujah. She was aware of her fragility. She was aware that if God did not move in his extreme mercy for her, she was a dead person. Dead person. Hallelujah. Do you know what the matter of the fact was? She was already dead. She made up her mind. She was already dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the fact of the matter is, she was not coming for herself. Why do you come? Why do you come here? Why? What is it that motivates you to come here? What motivates you to sit in that chair? What motivates you to sit there and listen to me? Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. She did not come for herself. And she was willing to expend herself for something outside of her.
Amen.
You look out there and see the sin. You look over here, see the sin, the degradation right next door. Right next door, right next door, right next door, right next door. You think God is happy about that? You think God is happy about that? Huh? Then why do we think God wants us to be happy? Why do we act like there is no sin out there? Why do we act like there's no death out there? Why do we act like the world is not sliding into a pit, into a place of hell?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
As Christian peoples, we should be feeling the pressure of God and his desire to save.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I had a friend. He had a magazine. He called it Good News from a Happy God. I said one day to him, I said, brother, God is not happy. God is not happy. God is not happy.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Amen.
God is in travail. God is in a position of travail. God is weeping over the sin of the church.
Yes, God
is weeping. God is weeping. You may not know it. Because maybe you have not spent the time. I don't know who was here for the time frame. But I trust, I hope, I pray, my God, that you take what you have heard and go into your closet.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
First time in my life a man approached me. I was in Ethiopia. First time. You realize how many places I've been in the world? Huh? Hallelujah. First time a man approached me and he said, brother, I have to tell you something. I said, please, tell me. What is it? He said, you know, there are many people coming to Ethiopia. There are many churches in Ethiopia. There is many organizations in Ethiopia. He said, Ethiopia is being flooded with Christian literature. He said, I had to go to God. And I had to ask him, did you send these men? Did you go and ask God whether they sent us? Did you? Or is it just another preacher? Another message? Another time of service? Another time of getting together and having a good time? Brethren, he went to God. First time in my life. I've been in the church, brother, over 45, 48 years, almost 50 years. I have been to hundreds of places around the world. First time in my life when a man come to me and I tell me he went to God about what I'm preaching.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know what? I tell people all the time, get into your word. Get into your closet. Ask God about what you are hearing. Ask Him. Ask Him. Ask Him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But we don't. We come in and we think it is church as usual. But let me tell you something that I know by the Spirit. For those of you who have heard, nothing will ever be the same again.
Amen.
And I don't, and I mean it can be very good or it can be very bad. Nothing is going to be the same again.
Amen.
This word will not allow you to remain static.
Amen.
This word that we are bringing to you will not give you the liberty to remain passive.
Amen.
You will either begin to resist it, or you will give your soul and heart to it because you see God in the midst of it.
Amen.
And it will work a change. It will bring division. It will bring separation. Because it's not a word that God is bringing to the overall church populace. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's a word that God has brought to you specifically. Because there's something that God wants to do in this country of Liberia. And it's not for the sake of redeeming Liberia. It's for the sake of establishing a stronghold for God.
Amen.
Makama. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So I said to the man, what did God tell you? I said, do I need to repent? Did you hear me? Do I need to repent? He said, well, I had a dream that very night. I had a dream. And in the dream, I saw 7 golden gates. And the door was open. And he said, as I looked into the doors, there was very high. He said, brother, I have never seen grass that green. I have never seen grass that lush and so fresh and so living. He said, I wanted to jump into the middle of it and roll around in it and to stuff it into my mouth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he woke up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I said, well, what do you think? And he said to me, you were ministering on the 7 letters of the 7 churches. And as you were ministering on those messages, God said, 7 golden gates. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It settled it for him. It settled it. It settled it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm not building a church in Ethiopia. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's no structure there with my name on it. But there is a seed of God that is planted within a man's heart.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There is a seed of God planted within the man's heart. Hallelujah. When that man came to me and he told me in a congregation there were several, 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 people. And another man raised his hand and he says, you know, brother, I have a testimony to share with you too. Hallelujah. I wasn't asking for it. Hallelujah. He said there was a woman that was trying to get a hold of him the whole time frame that we were there. She finally was able to get him. Hallelujah. And she said, brother, there is a dream that I had that I want to share with you. Hallelujah. She said, I had a dream. And in the dream, you had a plastic water bottle, a 2-liter water bottle. And it was filled with water, but it had 2 tablespoons of salt in it. Have you ever drank salt water? Does it ever quench your thirst? Huh? No, it doesn't, does it? Unless you are dehydrated. Unless you are suffering from water in your body, it's of little value to it. In fact, it does just the opposite. Hallelujah. She said there was somebody that came up and he took the bottle away from him. And then he took him by the hand. Hallelujah. And he said, the person that took you by the hand led you over to a well-like structure. Hallelujah. And you know, if you are asking God about something that pertains to God and that is critical to you as to whether you are going to live or die, God is going to talk to you. Amen. God has no pleasure in your death. God has no pleasure in tribulation that is coming upon you to correct you. Hallelujah. Amen. Did you hear me? God has no pleasure chastising you for the aspect of transgression. He has no pleasure. Hallelujah. Amen. But God's heart delights in He that thirsts after Him. He that desires to be with Him. He that desires to be in the position of relationship and fellowship. Not in the aspect of, give me God, give me God, give me God, give me God. But in the place of, oh God, how thankful I am that you had mercy on me, a sinner. Hallelujah. We don't see God in that respect. We're sick, we want to be healed. We have a financial shortage, we want some money. We want to build a house for God. We want to do this for God. We are going to God for money. We're going to God for help. We get into trouble out here in the world. We go to God, get me out of the trouble. That's why we have church. That's why some of us are Christians. Hallelujah. We're not Christians because God, that we love God. We are Christians because we want to go to heaven. Not to hell. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have you ever contemplated the verse that says, the gate is narrow, the way is narrow, the gate is straight? Have you ever contemplated? Few. There are that find it. Hallelujah. Amen. I ask God, am I one of the few? What do you ask God? Do we just assume? Because we have the blood. We've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. We can clap. We can sing. We can dance. We can jump around. We can yell. We can scream. Huh? And do all of the things that we call holy rolling. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This man said that the woman said that this man had led him to a well-like structure, and he looked at the water. He said, I've never seen water like that. He said, it was green with yellow-like highlights. And it was effervescent. You know what I mean? By effervescent, like it was alive. Huh? And he tentatively reached down his hand to get a little bit of it. And he said that when he drank it, his countenance changed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he drank some more. And he drank some more. And he drank some more. And he was drinking so he could not get his fill of it. Hallelujah! What the woman was describing was his response to the word that he was hearing in the spirit. Hallelujah. You know, some of you will just go back. You'll just go back. You'll do the same thing you did tonight. You'll do the same thing you did last Sunday, last Wednesday, last Monday, last Saturday. You just go back. And you'll do the same things. And the same things. Huh? And it's like the scripture says, thou fool. Thou fool. Dost thou not know tonight? Tonight. Tonight. Your soul is going to be required of thee.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There was a German during World War II that was taken by the Nazis. He was a scientist. And he was a scientist in computer science when there was no computer. And they were commissioning him to build the computer. Because he had this thought, he had this idea. He was an atheist. But he had the principle of judgment in his mind when he was thinking about the computer. He wasn't thinking about the computer, but he was thinking about the storing and the accessing of information. Are you listening to me? When the Russians came into Germany, he fled. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, he was an atheist. But do you know what? God used his knowledge of how a computer worked and how it functions and what it is supposed to do to bring him to a place of repentance, because he got caught. One of his problems was, he said, how is it that God is going to play back every thought and everything that you think or say or do of everybody in the world? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said he was brought before, in an experience, as he was in that jail, he was brought before a judge. And the judge pointed a finger at him. And the moment the judge pointed a finger at him, he said something clicked in his brain. Like a picture camera, a movie camera. And he saw on a screen his entire life flashing, 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 flashing. Hallelujah. He saw every sin. He saw everything that he thought was hidden. Everything that he thought was done away with and buried and secreted someplace. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God in an instant began to play it back to him. His immorality, his sexuality, his thoughts and the sin of his mind, the sin of his ears, and the way that he treated this one, and the way that he treated that one, and the thing that he did over here and over there in a moment. And he knew he was dead.
Amen.
He knew there was no other position or place except judgment and death and hell. Hello?
Yes.
We are involved in many things that are illegal. Some of you are practicing witchcraft. Some of you are practicing witchcraft. And some of you are practicing Pentecostal witchcraft.
Come on.
Oh, well, why do you watch out before I say come on?
Come on, come on.
Some of you are practicing witchcraft. Woman wants husband. Huh? So she goes to someone, pays the money. She tells the person what she wants. The person does her little magic, gives her something, tells her she's going to meet so-and-so, and to give him that. Am I talking out of school? Huh? I've been in Africa a long time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Some of you don't like somebody. Somebody did you wrong. Somebody did something that wasn't right. Hallelujah. Instead of wanting to forgive them, you wanted revenge. You wanted to be justified. You wanted to be vindicated.
Yes.
You wanted to have justice done.
Yes.
So you begin to pray in a particular manner.
Yeah, I've been
You did not pray for redemption. You did not pray that God would forgive you of your revengeful, vindictive heart and spirit. You prayed that God would work something in the life of that individual, bring out a circumstance or a situation that they might be chastised, that they might be judged, and that they might be condemned, and all of the world would know you were right and they were wrong.
Amen. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah.
Walking witchcraft. Devil sitting there listening. 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 All of a sudden, he catches it. Hallelujah. He catches it. Got it. Got it. And he says, go to his demon. Says, go to his demon. Demon goes out. Smites that man. Smites his family. Causes financial destruction. Causes physical damage. Sickness comes. And you stand there in your self-righteousness saying he got what he deserved.
Yes.
How does that line up with a redemptive God? How does that action, how does that thought, how does that demeanor, how does that behavior line up with a righteous God who gave his life for you while I was yet in sin? While I was cursing him. Do you understand me? I was cursing God. I was cursing God's people. I was maligning him. I was talking very, very bad about him. God died for me in that condition.
Amen.
And then you come to church. You come to church. You clap your hands. You say, praise the Lord. You do all of the things that you do. God is not there. Hallelujah. God is not there. God is out there seeking someone who might be like David. David loved his people. David loved his people. You know how God chastised David? He didn't take the rod to David personally. He went out and he began to smite the sheep. He smote the sheep. David went down on his knees before God and said, oh God, hallelujah, smite me, not my people. When was the last time? When was the last time? When was the last time that you or I stood in a position or in the place of retribution against sin for somebody who was a sinner? When was the last time? Or was there ever a last time? Says they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. Truth about what? Truth about you. Truth about me. Truth about our position. Truth about our place of hardness of heart. The shell of Christianity that is around us.
Yes.
Christianity means you are to be like Christ.
Yes.
I am to be like Christ. Yes. I am to be like Christ.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is so much in the Word of God that pertains to that nature. If you have two coats, give one to somebody. If you have two pairs of shoes, give one to somebody. Somebody asks you to go a mile, go five or go seven. If a man asks you this, if he asks you for money, you give it to him. And you don't ask for it back! You don't ask for it back! You know, we just got involved in a situation. Hotel said one thing to us before we checked in. They said another thing to us when we checked out. Now I can get upset. Hello? I know I'm not talking. A mistake in our favor. Devil trying to rob me. I can get angry. I can get pushed out of shape. I can get agitated, irritated. I can get frustrated. I can think that I'm right and they are wrong. But my spirit all the time is being segregated, separated, pushed away from the presence of God. Hallelujah!
Amen.
You know, I have an advocate with the Father. I have an advocate with the Father. I can go to Jesus with my complaint. I can say, God, what they are doing, they're not robbing me, they're robbing you. And if you think it's okay, it's all right with me. Did you hear me? If you think it's okay, if you think it's right, God, I pray that which they have robbed with you from you will burn in their pocket and bring an awareness of the judgment that is impending before them, that they might be saved.
Yes,
so my what they have robbed from me becomes a sacrifice of praise. Hello? It becomes a sacrifice of praise. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's not my money. It's not my money. It's not my money. It's God's money. And God can work it after the counsel of His will. And the devil wants to use it to destroy my awareness of His presence. You know, I had to fight tonight. You know, I had to fight in my mind. All these thoughts coming because of it. And I'm saying, devil, you are not going to drive me out of the presence of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
Devil tried to stop us from coming here. You know that. Huh? He tried to. First thing, we had misinformation. We were told we could get a visa at the airport. We can't get a visa unless you got a letter of invitation. So they weren't going to let you on the plane. They weren't even going to let us check in. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But you see, we prayed. We prayed. We said, God, we believe you sent us. We believe we're supposed to be there. Do something. You know, God did something.
Hallelujah.
You see me? I'm here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I went to the ticket counter. I gave them my ticket. And he says, you're not on the manifest. I said, there's my ticket. He says, no, you're not on the manifest. They put the wrong name on my ticket.
Wow.
Huh? Wrong name on my ticket. Hello?
Yeah.
Wrong name. God intervened. I'm here.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We get off the airplane here in this country. And we go up to the immigration thinking they will give us this visa that we are supposed to get at the airport. Uh-uh. Come this way. All three of us are marched into an office. In front of the immigration official. Long story short, I'm here. I got a stamp in my passport. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
You know, I can get upset. I can say, why didn't they give us the right information? You should have done this, or they should have done this, and they should have done, and they should have done, and I could be so upset. I could be so out of sorts. I could be, oh my, what am I going to do now? My goodness, God, can't you help me or something? My God, people, we have to work on cultivating the presence of God. I have to work. I have to work. I have to rebuke it coming into my mind. It's a job. It's a job trying to keep good God next to you.
Yeah.
Because God, devil don't want that. Devil don't want you to have that type of relationship. Devil don't want you to have it. Huh? And God wants it though. God wants it. God wants you to know what it is to praise Him. God wants you to know what it is to have Him with you in the midst of your tribulation. God wants you to know what it is when He has the desire to heal you. You know, it's not up to you whether you're healed or not. Did you know that? You can shout and rebuke and do all kind of shenanigans, and you can get there and do the Pentecostal shake and all of that sort of stuff, and you still end up in bed sick. It's not on the basis. It's on the basis of what it is God wants to do in your life.
Amen.
It's sickness. Is designed to do something. God's not going to move the sickness. His poverty is designed to bring you a reality of God. God isn't going to prosper you. Two men in prison. True story. Both in prison for murder. Both in prison with a life sentence without parole. Both people get saved. Both people get Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And of course they're praying, well now Lord that I'm saved, now Lord that I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, can't you do something about getting me out of here? It's a reasonable request, I suppose. They're thinking we could do so much better outside. One man God moved, the other did not leave. Now is God preferring one person above the other? Absolutely not. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I want to tell you something. That man did not lose his salvation because God did for the other man what He would not do for him. Huh? And there was a greater manifestation to the man that was in prison than the man that got out. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The testimony of the man was, I am glad that God did not deliver me from this cell. There was a man called Richard Rohrbaum. He was a Romanian Lutheran pastor, a pastor that had more knowledge of God than any pastor that I have ever met. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He was persecuted. He spent 14 years in solitary confinement in a little cell, three stories down, in the dark. And God would come into that cell. Did you hear me? Do you think it was worth him being in that cell? If God would come into the cell? Hallelujah.
Amen.
One day, God came in and He said, wake up. Wake up. Get up. Start preaching. This is a true story. God comes into the prison. If He would not have been in prison, what happened at that precise moment would not have happened, and the result of it would not have come about.
Amen.
So Wormbrand got up out of his bed and started preaching. Started preaching. And he preached, he said, for maybe an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. Years later, when he was out of prison and he was in the United States and he was sharing a testimony, a man stood up at the back of the congregation and said, Brother Wormbrand, I want you to know you were preaching to me. The man happened to be in a cell in solitary confinement. And all of a sudden he heard this man preaching. He's an American, speaks English. Brother Wormbrand was a Romanian. He did not speak English. He said the man began to preach, and as he preached, I could feel the unction of God coming upon him and the spirit of conviction. And by the time the message was done, I was down on my face, repenting and receiving God as my personal Savior.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
Woke up in the morning, he was still in jail. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He traveled all the way around the world. Still in jail. Huh? Reality. 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 Reality, my brethren. Reality. Reality of a living God. reality of God, who is God and not some sort of figment of imagination as far as our mind is. Not somebody that sits out there and a white throne somewhere in a city that has golden streets and houses of pearl and all of the stuff. Nonsense. God does not dwell in houses made of net wood. God does not dwell in houses made of gold. God does not dwell in houses made of silver and all of the fine things. God dwells in the hearts of men and women and children. Little baby in a service in Jamaica. Hallelujah. Gets up in the midst of the congregation and says, the Spirit of the Lord tells me that the people of God are gathered here tonight.
Amen.
But God also says there are some of Satan's people here tonight.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And God says, devil, take your men and go.
Amen.
There were 3 or 4, maybe 5, I don't know, people that got up out of their chair and bolted for the door. Little baby. Does your babies know the reality of God?
Yes.
Do your babies know? Hallelujah. Are you teaching them to worship God as you worship Him? Are you teaching them to think about God the way that you think about them? You know, I raised my children to be responsible individuals. Responsible, and they very... I made a big mistake. I did not raise them to be responsible in the spiritual sense. I did not make the responsibility of the Spirit a priority for them. You understand what I'm saying? I am not making the same mistake with my grandchildren.
Amen.
I'm not making the same mistake. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I tell them, don't do what grandpa does if what grandpa does is not right. I said, and you have to know God. You have to know God, little Sam, 6 years old. You have to know God in order to tell grandpa he's not doing what God wants him to do.
Amen.
Little girl in a congregation, about 5 years old. There was a couple that were having marital problems that they thought was secret. But God knew. Some of you got marital problems. And you think they're secret. Some of you got wandering eyes. Some of you got lust in your heart and you think it's secret. It's not secret. It says God's eyes go to and fro throughout the whole earth. And you go to that secret meeting thinking nobody knows. But God knows. And you got the Holy Ghost. You got the blood of Jesus. And you take Jesus with you into that place of sin.
Oh God.
How long will He abide? How long will He put up with it? How long will He allow the status quo? Do you want to know what one of the major sins of the major denominational preachers who are big name preachers? You want to know what it is? It's sexuality. It's sexual sin. There was a Calvary temple down on the corner. Young man comes in, preaches Holy Ghost and fire. People coming down to the altar to get saved. People getting filled with the Holy Ghost. People getting healed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Great revival, right? Amen, right? Found out he was a homosexual.
Amen.
Hello?
Yeah.
Where is the discernment in the body? Where is, how is it that a man or a woman or a boy or a girl can come into your congregation and be involved in sexual sin and God does not reveal it?
Yes.
Now you condemn the one that is in sexual sin, but what about you? And your eyes that don't see, your ears that don't hear. Hallelujah. I can give you church after church after church. Hallelujah. You know Jimmy Swaggart, right? You know what happened to him? All that pomp, all that glory, all that music. Everybody's listening into it on the radio. Everybody's humming the tune. Everybody's dancing to it. And all the time, he's involved in gross pornography. And the church does not know it. Hallelujah. There was a man called A.A. Allen. I don't know if you ever heard of him. But he had a place in California, which is on the west coast of the United States, down by Los Angeles. It was called Miracle Valley. There was a stack of wheelchairs, crutches, and all manner of paraphernalia, prosthetic limbs, out in front of a huge mountain of them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There was a woman that had a cancer on the back of her neck. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Big old thing growing there. He walked up to it, grabbed hold of it, and ripped it off. And threw it down on the floor. No blood. Thing shrivels up on the floor and dies. The woman was healed. He had a problem. Every night after service, he would go home and get stinking drunk. Blind drunk. Hallelujah. He thought it was hidden. He thought nobody knew. He closed his windows. He pulled his shades. He closed the door. But God knew. God sends a little old lady. In the middle of the service, comes up to him. And she says, "Brother Allen, I have a message from you, for you from God." Brother Allen looked at that little old lady and says, "Who is God and who is you that would lead me to go to you to tell you to tell me something?" Huh? Little old lady says, "Nevertheless, Brother Allen, I'm going to tell you anyway." And she says, "Unless you repent, God is going to kill you." The man did not repent. And one morning, one day, he missed meetings. They went to his home. He was dead on the floor with a bottle of whiskey. Ha! Is this the God you're serving? Is this the God you know? I don't think so. God is going to deal with the church. He's giving, and it's God's mercy, do you understand? That he comes to you with the reality of his thoughts and intent. There were 12 disciples, brethren. Out of the 12, 3. Out of the 3, 1. Now, do you think that Jesus says, "Well, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, I'm going to take you and you and you and you"? Do you think Jesus did that? No, 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 no. Work out the percentage. What is 1%? What is 1 out of 12? Huh? That was the one that Jesus loved. There's no other person in the Bible that says that about them, singularly, individually. No other person.
Amen.
That has the commendation that says, Jesus loved this disciple. Can you imagine? He spent every moment he could with Jesus Christ. It says that he would lay his head upon the breast of God.
You know, you can hear the heartbeat, you know. You can hear the heartbeat. Hallelujah. When a woman is carrying a baby, the heart is a rheumatic a rhythm to the child that brings a sense of security. That's why the babies like to snuggle up to their mamas. That's why the babies like to get up and have that contact with their mamas. Because they want to know the reality of what it was they had before they were birthed out into this world of darkness. Hallelujah. John would spend time with Jesus. Spend time. It was if he had a cell phone, he would turn it off. If he had a TV, he would not have it going on. You know, some of you cannot live without noise. You can't live without noise. Can't live without. You walk into a, we check into a hotel, the first thing they do is they turn the TV on. I walk over and turn it off. They turn it on, I turn it off. They turn it on, I turn it off. Hallelujah. Or you have your radios going, blaring, blaring, all of this music and things that really isn't necessarily making your mind concentrate on the things of God. Let me talk to you about music just a little bit. We have what we call worldly music and Christian music. You get a person that has an iPod, you can't hear the music, but you can tell what they're listening to. I don't have to hear the music. I see the music. And if your music moves you sensually, if your music moves you, it makes your body do something. You know, I've been in the world. I've been out there. I've been in the bar and hearing the thumbs and all of the music and the thump thump boom boom ba 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 boom 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 boom, and your inside starts going like this, and pretty soon your body's going like this, hallelujah, hallelujah, and your heart begins to beat to the music, and your heart beats to the music, your foot begins to stomp, or your body begins to wiggle. Do you think God is honored? Do you think God is honored? Do you think He is looking at you? Oh my. You think He's thinking you pretty? You think He's thinking you're attractive? You think He's thinking that you're hot and sexy? Do you think that? Huh? No. God bows His head and He's weep because He puts His blood upon you. He bought you. He bought you with a price that you could not pay.
Amen. Oh my God.
It's strength. It's narrow. Come on, brethren. Hallelujah. Can you imagine acting the way that we act in here in front of God? Do you really think you would get away with it? Do you really think that? Well, if you do, you need to get into your closet because God would not tolerate it. Would not tolerate it. You know, when I used to travel with Brother Duciel, he would always say to me, Brother Bert, always bring a suit and a tie. And I said, why? He says, because you never know. You might have an appointment with a prince. You might have an appointment with a king. You might be invited into the presence of a high dignitary, and you don't want to go in looking like a vagabond. Hello? Uh-huh. Because you know we worship God in the way that we dress, and you know it's just as bad for the men as it is for the women. I'm not just picking on you, ladies.
Amen.
Huh? It's just as bad for the men. Do you hear me? Oh, men, well, they want to button their shirt, open their shirt down here, and they hang these big gold things around them. Oh, they want to flex their muscle. Well, I haven't got any muscle to flex anymore.
Huh? They want to show how macho they are. I told my boys, they, you know, when they get hot, the first thing they do is to take off their shirt. I says, you're not working with me with no clothes on. But Dad, it's hot. I said, not working for me if there's no clothes on. If you're not going to put on your clothes, you're fired. Go home.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's a worship in what we do. And if you don't think that the devil is not behind your designers, you know there's certain colors you can wear. Not that your colors are that. Don't get me wrong. There's certain colors you wear. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That call certain spirits. There's certain styles you wear that call certain spirits. The women in, not here only, but in a major portion, they have these dresses. I call them fish dresses.
Amen. Yes. Cheek.
Fish dresses. I call them fish dresses. You know why? They come down very tight. And they have this band around here.
Amen.
I really don't know how they walk in them. They come down very tight. So it's really exposed. I told my wife one day, I said, you can't wear that.
Amen. Yes.
It wasn't a fish dress. But it was a dress. I said, you can't wear that. And talking about that, you know, my wife is a very classic woman. Very classic.
Yeah.
Very classic. Very, very, I don't know any other word to say it. Just very classic.
Yeah.
She dresses impeccably. She dresses like a woman. And you know she's a woman, but you don't know by a woman by what she is wearing, by what her figure is. You understand?
Amen.
It's the demeanor in her. It's the femininity of womanhood in her. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And she is also a very much a professional person. And she was a real estate agent, a broker who buys and sells property when I met her. And she had these designer zines that she wore. You know, the fancy ones. It's got the little white threads, you know, that go down the legs. They outline the pockets on the back side. What do you think they outline those pockets for? Huh? What do you think they outline those pockets? They want you to... Hmm? They want your eyes to go where the design is. And I took one look at it and I'm thinking, oh no. Oh no. That isn't going to work. And God said, shh. He said, shh. So I said, okay. I'm leaving it to you. It wasn't maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks down the road. She said to me one day, and she said, Bert, what do you think if I got rid of all of these jeans? And I said, I'm going, yeah. But I said, well, do you really think you want to? She said, well, yes, because God is telling me it isn't appropriate. And I'm saying, oh, praise God, praise God. And on the inside, I said, well, I guess you better obey God. No hassle, no argument, no this, no that. God moves sovereignly into the situation. On his own. And convicted her. Why? Because she's in the Word. She's hearing the Word. She's involved in it. She's involved in the ministry of the Word and the operation of the ministry. And she's talking to people and she's talking to me and she's listening to God. And she's hearing God. And when she hears God, she begins to change from the inside. She begins to change from the inside. She will come to me and she says, should I wear this? Now, I don't know how many of you wives go to your husbands and ask him, what should I wear tonight? But she comes to me and she says, should I wear this? And then she'll turn around like this, you know. And sometimes I said, well, it seems fine to me. I said, well, maybe you should try something else. Hallelujah. She doesn't get offended. Oh, you don't like it? She doesn't get offended. She doesn't get upset with me. She doesn't get offended. She doesn't think I'm rejecting her or criticizing her or trying to control her or trying to manipulate her. She is hearing God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you got these tight dresses. You thought I forgot, didn't you? And they got this little band around here. And then it flares out. And when you start to walk down the road, you're like a fish. Swimming along. Little fishy swimming along. You know, and it's a fish that is looking to be caught. Did you hear me? It's a fish looking to be caught. And there's some fishermen there looking for that fish. And what you don't know is that you put on the clothes, there's this entourage of spirits that you are invoking their power. That as you walk down the street, as only a woman can walk. Huh? I took my glasses off so I can't see you. Hallelujah. And this entourage of spirits is walking through the crowd of men, touching this one, touching that one, touching that one, touching that one. Look, 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 look. Look, look, look at this. Look at this woman. And the man looks, looks, looks. And he's hooked. My God. We're talking about righteousness. We're talking about worship of God. Do you think if you are under the control, do you know that the major designers of clothing are homosexuals? Do you know that? They want to embarrass men, make them look like women, and make women look like sexual objects are like men. Hello? How about these little pointy shoes that men wear? Huh? I don't know how some men walk in them. The point goes way out here. You would have to learn to walk all over again. Pointy shoes on a man? Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, the only pointed shoes I have ever seen are cowboy boots. You know what cowboy boots are?
Yeah.
Huh? Have you seen them? But cowboy boots had a purpose, you understand. Because there was a thing called a stirrup. And the shoe was designed to go into the stirrup with ease. And not only that, but if you were ever to fall out of the saddle of the horse, the shoe would not get caught in the stirrup. It had a point. What is the point of these long pointy things? Have you seen a clown? Huh? Do your clowns have these big shoes? What do you think, devil? He's trying to make us look ridiculous. He wants to channel us in a particular way. He wants to bring us into a particular environment. And he wants to accentuate the darkness in our soul. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, the way I dress does not just affect me. I don't see me. Unless I'm looking in a mirror. I don't see me, but everybody else sees me. I forget to button my shirt, and my wife says, "Your shirt's unbuttoned." Hallelujah.
Amen.
I could get angry with her. I could get upset over it. Maybe I want my shirt unbuttoned. He says, "Your shirt is unbuttoned." I have to hear God. I have to hear him, people. I am responsible to you to hear God. And that doesn't mean because I'm up here preaching. I mean by what I wear, how I act, what I do in my time of privacy, what I do in my time of walking and talking amongst the people. I am responsible for you. I'm responsible for you. And if what I do causes you to stumble or fall because it's inappropriate. Do you hear me? Inappropriate. I will be held accountable before God for your transgression. So I have to do everything that I know that is right. I have to do it. I can't dress according to fashions out here. I can't wear shoes according to fashions out here. I can't wear perfume according to fashions. You know, some of you men and women are wearing perfumes that have demonic names. I was in an airport. They had this life-size, well, it was more than life-size because it was about a times and a half, of a woman totally naked standing behind a perfume bottle that said naked. Now, if you as a woman buy that perfume, what do you think? Or how about the one that says obsessed? How about the one that says erotic? Huh? How about the one that says ecstasy? Come on! Do we not have eyes to see? Do we not have ears to hear? You as a Christian that goes in and lays down your money for something that promotes promiscuity, promotes promiscuity, sexuality, and causes somebody who smells it to lust after you. But if you could see in the spirit, as you walk down the road with that scent, you could see the demons. Honing in on the scent. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You see, brethren, the devil cannot work from the inside out. He's prohibited by God.
Amen.
But your body has five senses. There are five doors. There are five entrances into your body as well as into your soul. Do you hear me? And so the devil has formed an allegiance with the darkness that governs your senses of your body, has entered into a marriage covenant with it. Hello? Why do you think that God calls Israel a harlot? Why? Why do you think that God called Israel an adulterous wife? Why? Because she was having a relationship with darkness and with the devil through her five senses. Sense of smell, eyes that see, ears that hear, hallelujah, the ability to touch, hallelujah.
Amen.
These are doors into your soul. These are avenues by which the devil has to work. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So God comes on in the inside and begins to grow into your mind, go into your emotion, go into your desires, go invade in the area of your will so that you can begin to close the doors. Bruce!
Amen. Hallelujah.
When the Bible says we are of they that worship God in spirit and in truth, this is what God is talking about. He's talking about the integrity of our soul in the hidden moments of time when nobody is looking and the things that we are doing. Hallelujah. I trust that you will take it to heart what I have shared with you tonight. If I have offended you, I am terribly, terribly sorry. But I could not leave here. I could not leave here in good conscience. I cannot leave here without telling you what I believe and I know to be the truth. I am free of your blood. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Says a watchman standeth on the wall and watches.
Yes, hallelujah.
And if he sees the destruction coming,
amen.
And destruction is coming, brethren, physically, mentally, emotionally, hallelujah.
Amen.
It's coming. And he warned not the inhabitants of that city. All them that whose blood are shed, that blood is upon his hands. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I do not want your blood on my hands. God bless you. On us. Have mercy on me. Mandaya.
Begin to talk to God. Please do not take this from. Maybe you are not used to responding. Tonight, before God, anything that I proceeded out of your mouth here tonight, I will lose none of it. I will retain it. I will lay hold upon it. And it shall become fruitful in my life. Talk to God.
Oh my God, have mercy on me.
The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. God wants to reveal Christ to us. Ask for God and running to me tonight with the spirit of understanding, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation, for me to comprehend what you are saying. We need a weeping me in our inward man. We need illumination in our inner man. Ask God tonight. Let your light shine on me. Cause me to comprehend, to lay hold on what you are giving out to me. There is a voice going forth at this time. And the people of God must have understanding. The Lord is blowing a trumpet. He's blowing a trumpet in Zion. He's ringing an alarm in His holy mountain.
My God.
Hallelujah. We need to know how to respond.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Pray and go for the strength. When the word of God comes, it provokes response. There must be repentance. There will be in that man rebuke tonight. The word of God has come to us very strongly. God requires repentance and change. Ask God tonight for a capacity to repent. Repentance is a spirit, a grace that comes from God. The Lord, I ask for the grace of repentance. There are aspects of my life that have been touched by the words spoken.
Oh, Baba, come on, Dada, let me.
I was nothing here to say. This word was not returned void. So, Lord, give me the grace. Give me the ability, give me the capacity to take the steps. There are things that were informed that the Lord has indicated tonight. There are certain things about our lives that God has been speaking tonight. I pray there is a warning that is going with it. Ask God tonight, God, give me grace to repent and to take the steps necessary to put away, to stop doing, to reject, to walk away, to flee the things that I need to. Ask God to give me the strength. The areas of my weakness, where I am bound, oh God, give me the strength to break away. Cause me to be touched, to be pricked in my conscience. Peter said, we preach, and they said, men and brethren, what must we do? Let that spirit fall upon us. So I might know what is there for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the words that you have brought to us. Lord, we thank you for you have spoken to us very strong. Lord, you have rebuked us. You have corrected us.